David's Bridal, where brides and bridesmaids get fabulously dressed. We let our friends pick out what we wear, show off our dance moves, obsess over every little detail, hold your hand through it all, smile bravely when it's time to let go. Make your dreams come true. The things we do for love, only at David's Bridal.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. And we have with us George Carnell. He's the author of From Queer to Christ. And he has written a book, and it sounds very interesting, folks. And so one of the things that he's talking about is what's happening. Now, there's a very, very dark, deep, sinister agenda by the LGBTQ. And, you know, one of the, when there was a preacher out there that recently said, LGBTQ, let God burn them quickly. Then I called this lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers, okay? I didn't, actually, they put the queer part in there, that's themselves. But that's the reality of that, okay? But like you said, they have an agenda, and it's a very sinister agenda, and we have a pedophile in the White House, okay? And again, like you said, well, it's true that the entire Democratic Party is flush with pedophiles. The ACLU, Anti-Christian Liars Union, they've been pushing and pushing, trying to pass legislation to legalize this. I mean, it is so anti-Christ. And this tells you on a timeline there, George, you know, we are at the end of the sixth dispensation period, the coming to the end of the church age. Everything that's happening, as clearly identified in 2 Timothy chapter 3, also in Romans chapter 1, all of these things are here now. The Bible refers to them as the time of sorrows or the evil day. And so we realize where we're at. Now, at the same time, we're seeing the wicked become more wicked. We're seeing the righteous become more righteous. And so you have a lot of churches, small Bible-believing fundamentalist Baptist churches are starting where they hold literally to the Bible when so much of the other world, the rest are going so, well, actually, you have a larger number now of those in the Democratic Party are literally choosing the Church of Satan as their religion now. That's happening, you know, here. And it's growing along with LGBTQ. So what do you think about all that?
Yeah, they're not hiding it anymore. And sadly, a lot of gay men are turning to Satanism as well. I know a lot of the more feminist lesbian types are moving toward Wicca. I know that they hate the thought of a male patriarchy or a male god. And so, you know, serving or worshiping Mother Earth or being a goddess appeals more to them. And it really, as you know, Pastor Sanders, at the end of the day, Satan could care less what you call it. As long as you're not worshiping Jesus, and as long as you don't come to know Jesus, he could care less if you believe in him or not. But if he can get your focus off of Christ and follow all of these other world religions and damn you to hell, that's all that matters to him.
All right. Are you ready to take some calls?
I'm ready.
Let's go out to Texas with Brian. Brian, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor Arnie. Good evening, sir. How are you guys doing?
We're okay. How are you, Brian?
Good. Thank you. I want to say God bless this gentleman that you brought on. You always have such good people coming on, really Christian people. And I want to say God bless this gentleman. And is my call coming in clear?
Yeah, you're in clear. Cool. Yeah. Go ahead, yeah.
Okay. Pastor, the last 6 months, over here in my area, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we've had two rental houses in the last 6 months that the Plano Police Department and the FBI have raided on two separate occasions, less than 6 months, child exploitation and the young children, 12 years old. And a lot of this is coming from the border, and this administration, this corrupt Joe Obama administration, the Antichrist administration, even in his administration, they've joined in the Satan's club, and they're not doing anything about this type of stuff going on. And another thing, Pastor, is that Obama signed that gay bill to recognize all gay marriages, and a lot of other countries, they followed suit right after Obama, when the corrupt Obama and the Antichrist Obama, after he signed this bill, several other countries followed suit, and they all signed the bill to recognize gay marriage. And something else is that when Joe Obama took over his Antichrist roles, he reinstated that thing that where the military could have themselves reconverted from men to women. When Trump took that away from funding it, and as soon as the corrupt Bidens got in office, his Antichrist administration, they lifted that bill where the U.S. taxpayers would pay for all men to be converted to women that wanted that option.
The Baphomet, when you see here, is Satan himself. Here is Satan, who's a man, you know, with horns like an animal, but he's got breasts like a woman. In other words, Satan has portrayed himself as a transgender, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yes.
And so everything that that God's Word, the Bible, teaches, the opposition is everything that is being embraced by what they call them, the communists, the Antichrist, the Democrats. They call themselves progressives, but they're really nothing but the Antichrist system, are they?
Correct. And sadly, the woke Christians who vote Democrat and use that, oh, it's love is love. I want to say something to them, Pastor Sanders. To you Christians out there, if you've never struggled with same-sex attraction, and if you've not spent any time in that lifestyle, you have no idea what it's really like. And if you truly knew, if you had listened to the story, the heartbreaking stories of ex-gays, lesbians, and transgender individuals who've come out of that life, and especially the transgender individuals who are detransitioning, the horror stories of what they've been through with the infections, the botched surgeries, horrible things that have happened to them, if you would truly listen to our stories, you will understand that the LGBT lifestyle is a dangerous and a destructive lifestyle. For instance, you may say to that individual, I affirm you because I want you to have someone to love. But what you don't know is that once they leave your presence, they have to go into a very deep, dark, seedy underworld to find whatever it is that they are looking for. And with the drag queens, the adult content, the promiscuity, the sex, the drugs, the predators that are in that community, the domestic violence, not only amongst gay men, but it's so much higher amongst the lesbians. Not only that, the danger of meeting strangers on dating apps or in the bars, the number of gay men that I know of who have been drugged, raped, robbed, and murdered. I've had a close friend of mine who was murdered by someone he met on a dating app. And if you saw the guy who did it, it looked like a baby-faced kid, and you would never think that he would be capable of something like that. I've been sexually assaulted, and many guys have been sexually assaulted. It's a very dangerous lifestyle, not to mention all of the STDs. You know, nobody hardly talks about AIDS anymore, but in the 80s when I came out, I knew of one guy who said that by the time he was 25, he had lost 50 people, friends of his, to AIDS. He said he stopped counting at that point. When we've watched our friends just drop dead like flies from HIV and having full-blown AIDS, when you see what it does to the body, yes, they have drugs and cocktails now to where it extends a person's life, but still, it's something that is not talked about. And there are a lot of gay men who have no hope who will purposefully sleep with someone who is HIV positive because once they become HIV positive, they don't care anymore. They'll just sleep with whomever they want. And a lot of them don't even disclose their status. And there are so many young 18, 19, and 20-year-olds who are now HIV positive, not to mention all of the other sexually transmitted diseases. Do you think that God is pleased with anyone who would affirm something something that is so wicked and then pushing them into further rebellion against God and pushing them into a lifestyle where I personally know they are never going to find any peace or joy, but they're going to now be confronted with all of these vices. And that's why there's so much rampant drug and alcohol abuse in that community. I'm asking Christians, especially the woke Christians, to really rethink your stance. And if you support something where you're saying that we support these transgender individuals, what you are in essence saying to God is that you made a mistake and we're going to correct it. And I would hate to be you on Judgment Day. It is time for people to wake up and stop with the foolishness. It is a dangerous and destructive lifestyle. These individuals must be told the truth of God's word and love. And I'm so thankful that God put Christians in my life who weren't woke, who told me the truth of God's word in love, and I eventually came to see it and walked out of that lifestyle, or else I would still be in that bondage. If you love them, you will tell them the truth. We don't want them to die and go to hell.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. If you love them, you'll tell them what they need to hear and not what they want to hear, huh?
Correct.
All right, let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in there.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I have three-part question and then a verse that I want to ask you about. But three things I want to bring up. First is when you mention there's occultism with teachers now in schools, and what you observe with occultism, how can people spot that if they want to avoid it, or how does that take form? That's my first thing. Second thing would be just deception in general among people when you hear of these websites for men meeting women. They say 25% of the people are married, and I'm listening to an audiobook novel, You Shouldn't Have Come Here. It's a woman from New York City, vacations in Wyoming, and she's kind of set up. And one of the things, you know, like two-thirds through the novel, the guy did was he bought a stack of books. Like, she opened one, and a receipt came out for $500 to, like, depict that he was a reader when he really wasn't, to set the girl up. So, like, these types of deceptions that you would see, like, how varied are they? And the third thing, when you talk about addiction, and I'd include, you know, like, marijuana has really increased, you know, tremendously, and alcohol has always been there. You know, if you don't totally cold turkey, say, an addiction like marijuana or something that could be addictive, people start to look for little rules, like I'll only smoke it on the weekends at the beach, I'll only drink Coors Light. So they look for rules where they lessen it, but don't totally stay away from it. And then the scripture I would ask you about is Romans 12:12, where it says, be patient in tribulation, rejoice in hope, and be instant in prayer. In other words, continue praying. And I'd ask about, like, when you were kind of, like, booed off the stage or whatever, or the people asked out you in a public forum. I consider that like a pop-up tribulation, you know, just in the moment. How do you handle pop-up tribulations? And do you think that can hurt a less determined Christian in terms of their prayer life?
Okay, so with regard to that portion, when they attacked me, I didn't care at that point because my peace of mind was more important than what people thought. So I was going to be obedient to God, and I just simply walked out, and I never looked back. Those people never even called to even say, I'm so sorry, that must have been humiliating, or we're so sorry you went through that. So I knew then they really didn't care. I will say with regard to the addictions, a lot of people are medicating. Again, this goes back to if Christians would really sit down with people who are broken and find out, really gain their trust and ask them about their childhood, you will find that a lot of them have gone through a lot of trauma. And this is why so many medicate through various forms of different vices, whether it's men or women sitting in bars and looking for sex, or drugs, alcohol, pornography. Even women I know who emotionally eat and become overweight, it's because they've been sexually abused and they don't want to be attractive. so another man will abuse them. There are various reasons why we all lash out. But if we could truly start getting to know people again and just talking to them, we will know how to pray for them, especially if they have some root core trauma. Lastly, with regard to the occult and Satanism and other various forms, a lot of people go into the occult and Satanism because I know for me, when you grow up and you feel powerless and you're constantly abused, neglected, shamed, rejected, whatever the trauma is, I've heard it repeatedly from so many people who go into the occult or Satanism. It's their way of trying to gain control, maybe through casting spells or manipulating events, but they're hurting. And I know for me, I thought, well, maybe I can gain control and kind of, because with Christ, you're supposed to just surrender everything to him. But I didn't know that he would be an ally or a friend. So a lot of people get into the dark arts for those reasons, because they've been hurt and they're looking for a way to take control of their life. So I would be very, if you want to look for signs, if you start seeing people suddenly wearing all black, dressing more of a goth look, look at the occult jewelry. Familiarize yourself with occult symbolism. You can find that on the internet. And there are a lot of former New Agers and ex-occultists, ex-Satanists who expose this. They show the jewelry. They show the symbols. They show the signs. So many things that Christians don't think anything about. And they will actually wear some of the symbols, perhaps, but they are really occultic in nature. But if you familiarize yourself with that, it's a good way for you to start being able to identify people who are involved in the dark arts. And I will tell you that Satanists have openly admitted that they have infiltrated churches, and they are there to undermine the pastor and the authority of the church, especially to destroy successful churches.
Oh, you're not kidding about that.
And sexually abused children.
Oh, yeah.
Because once the news comes out that there are children at a church who have been sexually abused, what's the first thing the world will do? They will say those filthy Christians, they're hypocrites, they're child molesters, but it had nothing to do with Christians. They were actually Satanists, and they infiltrated the church for that reason, to bring destruction and chaos into, especially to compromise the pastor and bring him down.
Well, you're so right about that. I'm going to have to, Cliff, we got to move on. Let's go to take Abraham. Okay. Abraham, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Yes. I just wanted to thank the brother for sharing his testimony, and you, Pastor, for having him as a guest, because we need to hear more of this. I am someone that God delivered out of those lies. I had a lesbian theologian mother, so I grew up in an environment where homosexuality was elevated because, of course, that's the whole gospel that she was going after in the 60s was the early liberation theology, and she was an angry feminist and then came out when I was 13 and uncovered home where the father was not there, and a demonized stepmother that seduced me and molested by another child the way this happens is if someone touches a child and then the child touches someone else. So when I had pronounced heterosexuality as a child, and it didn't take much to plant seed that came out after puberty, really is what happens, is these things. And it's the same with heterosexual molestation. When children are molested, these things can go deep and not really come out. But for me, I was able to see the distinction between myself and my mother. My mother hated men, and I didn't hate women. I loved women. I was indeed attracted to them. But the other thing is that even before knowing,
can I ask you, Abraham, though, why do you think your mother hated men? Because one of the things one of the things that I've noticed is that a lot of these young women, they get called into prostitution, and that they're attracted to the pimps because they want a father figure. They want a male. They need to be told by a man that, look, you're good, you're okay, I love you. And this is why they go out and they find these pimps, or they're so easily taken into the pimps. They want to get that credibility or whatever from a man, and they're looking so hard for that. And I've seen that happen time and time again with these young girls that got caught up into prostitution. And so, what was it? Do you think turned your mother against men?
Well, after her passing, I found out that she was molested as a child in the family, we believe. And she was also raped in the Navy. This would have been the late 40s, early 50s. No, it would have been the early to mid 50s. So, and yet she was definitely drawn to my father, who had spent his formative years in seminary. He ran away to seminary. So my father had a rejection from the Catholic Church. My mother was part of what was going on in the very liberal Catholic Church. And I believe they definitely were attracted and drawn together. But these seeds in someone from childhood or things that happen later in their life will come out in one way or another. But I have been involved in ministry to women that have been prostituted or sex trafficked, and invariably they did not have the love of their father, and invariably they are vulnerable in other ways, and invariably they had some molestation that went early that came out later on. So these are not women who are prostitutes, really. They are victims, and yet we're all responsible at some point for our own.
Let me give you a few facts here, and these are children from fatherless homes account for 63% of all youth suicides, 71% of teenage pregnancies, 90% of all homeless and runaway children, 85% of all youth who exhibit behavior disorders, and 71% of high school dropouts. 60% of all rapists come from fatherless homes. 72% of adolescent murders come from fatherless homes. 70% of long-term prison inmates come from fatherless homes. 85% of incarceration for individuals from single-family homes. 75% of all teenagers enrolled in substance abuse program come from single-family homes. Kind of tells you something, huh?
It certainly does. And it was certainly the case in my place that my father was absent. That's certainly at the root of it. And in all the stories of all the people that I've heard that have come out of homosexuality, and I've literally met hundreds through parachurch ministries since shortly after I got saved in the early 80s, that is a commonality in the story. But there are also those from Christian homes, pastors' kids. There are plenty, but a high percentage of an absentee father in one way or another, or the mother is in charge, is another common factor. I just wanted to give a just bless your guest, and that he is necessarily and boldly sharing his testimony. It's so heartening to me at my age to see a whole new generation coming out of homosexuality, and it's happening all over the place. And it's just wonderful to see so many people that have been bound in that are coming to Jesus. It's almost like there's the seeds of a prayed for revival in that area, that God will deliver these captives. He will set these captives free, and they will be powerfully used to set others free because of what they've been through. So I just bless you, young man. Remind me, you'll repeat the name in the book and the contact information for your guest, I'm sure, before you go off the air. So,
well, no, I'll let him do that. It's George Corneille, and he's the author of From Queer to Christ. But go ahead, George.
Okay. Yeah, George Corneille, Corneille, N-E-A-L.com. The book is From Queer to Christ. And, sir, and to Pastor Sanders, you're right about the fatherless situation, but look at what the feminist dogma since the 60s and the 70s and what the system has done to slowly remove fathers from the home, set up where if the women have children out of wedlock, you can't have the father in the home in order for us to give you government assistance. This has been a coordinated effort to demonize men, to see men as all perverts and predators. They're bad and women don't feel safe. And look at the society that we have today. When in actuality, women initiate most of the divorces, and a lot of women aren't interested in having fathers. They just want a paycheck to so they can raise the kids and be selfish. They don't care about the child having a father in the home. So look at what we have today.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting because in my message that I just preached this week on, that was a part of what I was saying. And he tells you in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10, 11, 12, he tells you that God will give you women and incompetent people actually as a punishment for people that are rebellious people and that they're going to be terrible, terrible rulers. He will give you women as rulers as a punishment for disobedience. And when you take a look at that, what you're saying here, the enemy attacks women in the area of discernment. What you said about this, it's really everything is reversed. Since I remember, you know, back in the 50s, it was usually always the men that initiated the divorce. The men were the one that left the homes. That's to completely turn around today. And today in the university, see, you guys would never, neither one of you two would never get asked to come and speak at Harvard or Yale or Penn. You wouldn't get asked to come because your message is not what is what they want their people to hear. But
correct,
these women today, amongst these college girls, they're saying that now what is acceptable. In other words, somehow, if they decide something's acceptable, then it's right. And the idea is a woman now can have it all. This is what they're saying. And I'm hearing from Christian women that are coming out and refuting this, but they're saying that a woman can have it all. She can have the security of a marriage and a family, and at the same time, she can have her career and also have a variety of sex partners. It's acceptable today. Do you think God accepts that?
No, and I wanted to tell you, there are so many females on TikTok and other various social media platforms. They are so miserable, and they say that I've been lied to. I bought the lie. I'm working this job. I'm working all of these hours. I come home to an empty home. I'm past childbearing years. I don't have a man. I don't even have a prospect of having a family. And they are so disillusioned because they bought the feminist lies that you can have it all. And sure, you can have a career, but you must devote so many hours to that career to where these women are utterly exhausted and couldn't even think about raising families. And then when you have to remove the fathers from the home, you know, and they're trying to raise children, no wonder they're tired, they're exhausted, they're trying to work and raise a family. And the men have just simply walked away because the court system is designed to discourage the man. He's basically just mutilated with child support and alimony, and men have finally awakened. And women have told them, men, for so long that you're not needed, you're not wanted, we can do anything we want. And men have said, fine, you do it yourself then. And the women now are really paying a price for it because there is a movement that some people may not know about called MGTOW, M-G-T-O-W. It's men going their own way. You should research it. Men have finally said, if you want to do it all, we're tired of being abused and told we're worthless. We're falsely accused of rape. And lives are destroyed, but women don't come to their defense, and they don't go after these women who make these false accusations. And it's too risky for men these days, and they are simply just washing their hands of it.
I know two cases like that. We're coming up to a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you two cases, what you're talking about. Unbelievable what would happen, but we'll be back right after this.
The birth of a king, what a glorious thing for the world. Redemption's begun, God has sent his own son to the world.
My Lord, too. That is a beautiful song. That's Lisa and Lisa, by the way, that's singing that song. We have another Lisa right here. Okay, Lisa, there's been people calling the office, and what is the question they want answered real quick?
They want to know where it says in the Bible that Israel will be forsaken by all nations.
All right. What she said, because her mic was off, what she said was this, that people have been calling and asking, where does it say in the Bible that Israel will be abandoned by all nations? I had to do with the fact that I said that Joe Biden will turn on Israel. He will. Watch, folks. Zach, well, if you want to sum it up one verse, actually go over to Zechariah 14, verse 2, but it tells you a lot more content in verse in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, I wanted to just say this very quickly, what you were saying there, George. I had, in a prison ministry some years ago, It was an amazing thing. You talk about, I was visiting, and two of the men that I were visiting, and these were both named Paul, and it was, you know, I don't want to say coincidence, but both named Paul. Both of these men were in prison because their wives had accused them of molesting the children. And so they both went to prison, and after one was 4 years and one was just under 4 years, after their wives had gone through their property and was gone, the wives admitted that they had lied. They convinced the children to say that. And now when the kids became later on, in one case, when both boys were 18, they actually said to me, and yes, that was a lie. They did it because their mother told them that if you don't say that, then mommy will go to jail. But if you do say that, daddy will go away for a while, and then we'll be able to get the things we want that he won't let us have. And these boys admitted that, two cases. And it was strange how these two guys met together, and they had such similar background stories. So after the wives finally came forward, they had to get lawyers, and then the system released these men after they'd done that time, but their wives walked away unscathed, you know. And
of course,
that was, you know, just amazing. But Style, go ahead.
So I say that, so when women question why men are walking away, they, you know, instead of listening to other women give their thoughts, why not ask the men? Because so many men have been burned by a system that doesn't hold these women accountable. So, and with the false accusations of rape, et cetera, and they're destroying lives, and men realize it's not worth the price, and so they're washing their hands of it.
And so we see like a really sinister plan behind that, and actually the ones that actually started the you know, the feminist movement were men. I heard David Rockefeller talking about what the plan was to do that, okay, some years
absolutely.
Ago, how they started this. And the women have always been the ones that discernment has always been their area. If you look how the Girl Scouts went down so much faster than the Boy Scouts, how the YWCA went down so much quicker than the YMCA. When you take a look at out there today, who is much more likely to accept homosexuality? It's women. Who are more likely to accept abortion? It's women. Who are more likely today to accept divorce? It's women. Who are more likely today to accept open marriages? And now, it's not in every case, but corporately speaking, now, and that is a complete reverse of what it was when I was growing up. It's turned completely around. But
well, Pastor, can I tack on one more thing to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Who are more likely today to commit suicide as a result of all of that?
Women, yeah.
Nope. The stat is 69.68% of men a year lead the suicide rate.
Well, I was thinking about abortion. It came to my mind. The highest rate of abortion, six times higher for these young women that have had abortions than for their counterparts, for women that haven't.
But that's the side of this feminist movement that doesn't get shown. You know, it's all men are evil and we have to take the masculinity out and it's toxic. And then this is the direct result of it.
Absolutely.
Is the fact that year after year, the statistic grows, and men have a near 4% more chance on the daily now to commit suicide than women because of it.
So if this country was to go back to traditional ways, the traditional lives of men, traditional lives of women, where this country would be so much better off if we were to go back to the Bible, wouldn't it be? All right, let's go to, we have Kathy. Kathy, you're in the air. Oh, that's Katie.
Hi.
I'm sorry. Katie, go ahead.
Hi. I love your show. And aside from all the woman bashing, I am a very devout, born-again Christian woman. I don't agree with any of you 100%. Women are not all Jezebels, and a lot of good women today are being squashed by the court. How do I know this? I've been going through a divorce for 4 years. You don't have a say. I'm guessing most of you are married gentlemen, so you've not been through a divorce. You just hear the horror stories and repeat it. Well, men cry an awful lot. Women have a higher threshold of pain. I've noticed that in the courts, and a lot of men, and it might be my community here in Southern California, in San Diego, but a lot of men, oh, my wife's a gold digger. And I have to tell them in the nicest way possible, be quiet. You don't make that kind of money. You're a Home Depot manager. There's no gold mine there. You're a tinfoiler. And as for women, when they're narcissists, that's so obvious. And I hear a lot of men complaining, whining about their wives taking them for all their money that they really didn't have. And I say this respectfully, but I've been sitting in court. I had no choice. And my husband was a horrible man. He'd sit in church and pretend he was a Christian. He beat me. He's a drinker. And when you have, I had only one child. He had learning disabilities. And I came down with lupus, probably from so much stress of living with him. And I didn't really know how. Even my own family kind of turned against me when they were alive. And you don't have a say in many states. I can only speak for California, but many states are the same. And you don't have a choice. So what I'm watching with my eyes and my brain, and I'm not a genius, but I'm fairly intelligent. And I see the men taking the kids at a whim. And I see the women struggle. More women have jobs, not careers. More women stay home when their kids are sick. I wanted to always be a stay-at-home mom. My husband did not want that. He wanted to kick me back out to work. So if you men, and I know that you're older, you're from a solid, good generation. And I've watched that, too, on old reruns during COVID. I had nothing else to do. And I, not to segue, but I watched a lot of Netflix. And I watched Mary Tyler Moore, which used to seem like a real innocent, sweet. Well, right after 1974, and it was like maybe the third season, all of a sudden Mary wore pantsuits, no dress. Lou Grant got divorced because his wife was a cuckoo tick and thought she wanted to find herself, and it started going that way. I was like in first grade then, so I had no choice other than living in the society that people before me created, or they did nothing, so it was created because they sat there thinking like ho-hum and didn't care. So I'm watching men take kids away. Why? They get more money. They don't have to shell out any child support. I've seen girlfriends struggle, good Christian friends struggle with manipulative, evil men. My husband was cheating all along of our 25 years of marriage since college with other women. Once those cell phones became online porn and dating sites, I knew there was never any hope. And I prayed and I did everything I could. And I'm a good Christian woman and I'm celibate because I choose to love God and I want to go to heaven and I don't want to be that way. And I don't want to be labeled by Christian men as a divorcee. I find that I resent that. You know, Jesus was very good to everybody. And he came from a line with Rahab. How is poor Rahab remembered as a prostitute? And if I might just go on a second and tell you, I find that repelling as a woman. And you're never going to bring women that aren't saved into the kingdom spousing. You know, I heard John MacArthur talk about how, and he meant it well, but it was always in a scolding, bad dog, no, no kind of a tone. You know what? Rahab should never be judged like that. She wasn't even a Christian. But she hid, you know, Joshua and saved them because she wanted to know more about their God. You know, you can't be saved until somebody tells you to.
Okay,
come.
I got to jump in, Katie, because of time and because the board's lit. But with Rahab's case, it was her faith that saved her. It was her faith in God. She believed in God. She in this God. And but anyhow, we're not talking about every single individual case. Yeah, there is a lot of bad guys out there that do a lot of harm to good women for sure. But we're talking corporately, and what you're saying, it's changed from the time we were growing up, and I think very quickly, George, you might want to address that.
Yes, I wasn't certainly. Look, this is a generalization. What I'm saying is I hear so many women complaining about men. I know there are a lot of good women out there and women out there who love and value men. What I'm trying to do is was merely expose why, when they question why are men walking away and not doing or manning up, as they will say. I'm giving you insight from a man's perspective and from what I know from so many people that I listen to or know personally. So I hope you didn't take it personally as if, oh, this is bashing all women. But it really stemmed from the fatherless situation. But when fathers are removed from the home, we must also look at a system that has set this up and designed it to be that way, to enslave women, to destroy the family unit, to remove men from the home, to take away their power, their leadership. And then everything is so topsy-turvy now. Men don't know what their role is. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing.
That's right. I got to jump in here real quickly because, George, I'm sorry, because we're running out of time. Katie, I hope you get into a nice, really good church and have a good fellowship with other Christian ladies.
I am in a church. I'm involved in my church all the time.
Well, very good. But I have to go. Merry Christmas. Let's go to Mitch. We're going to go out to Mitch. Mitch? Or is that Michigan? Mitch?
Hello?
Okay, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
I was touched by the sincerity of your guest there. And I just want to say, if you hadn't chosen that, you'd have chosen something else, because we're all sinners, and we got to choose something. And we can thank Adam and Eve for that, because we have that sin nature that it chooses evil. But I actually know a lesbian who the pastor said she wanted to get free. And the pastor said, go in and pray and ask God to show you where you chose it. And she had faith. She believed that God was going to show her. And immediately, the steam came back. She was like 4 or 5 years old, sitting on this sink, standing on this kitchen sink. And her mother says to her, who do you want to bathe you, me or your cousin? And this wicked thrill came over her to show her body. She wanted to, like, show her body to her cousin. And that's God showed her right there. That's where she chose it. And that's how we become bound by these things. But so that's where people have to see. Somewhere they chose it. And it's just like an alcoholic. Somewhere they chose it.
I hear you. We're out of time for today, but thanks for calling. Merry Christmas to you. All you folks that have called tonight, Merry Christmas. Now, very quickly, I give you about a minute here, George, to sum up, and then I have to go to the invitation. But go ahead, George.
Okay. I just want to say again, if you have information, my email address is on my website. Feel free to email me if you have questions. GeorgeCarneal.com. The book is From Queer to Christ. And also there, if you're looking to support a ministry, I would appreciate anyone who's interested in helping just support this ministry, because it is much needed, and I devote full time to this ministry. And unfortunately, because of social media platforms, I am shut down at every turn because my message is deemed harmful and hateful to the community. But your prayers would definitely be most appreciated, that God will open the doors for me to sound the alarm, not only to Christians, but especially to the LGBT community. And most of all, pastors, please provide a safe environment for these individuals, because when they leave that lifestyle, they lose their friends, and they need a community and a support system at that church, which will hopefully keep them invested in learning God's word and not go back into the lifestyle because of loneliness and isolation.
George, we're going to try to help you out there with that platform with some more. We're going to give you we'll have you back and promote the book, and I'd like to get a copy of your book first. Right now, though, we're out of time, so how much time do I have? Pastor Hal, you've got 5 minutes. Tell us how we can get to heaven and avoid hell.
Okay, one thing I learned tonight, though, is that this world is filled with hurting people, men hurting women hurting men, children's lives being destroyed, and the devil rejoicing in the whole thing. But, you know, God loves you no matter who you are, but he hates your sins. God wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. And the only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why it says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The Bible says God loves you. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, whether you go to heaven or hell, the choice is yours. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A gift is offered to you for free. And the Bible also says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. When you come to Jesus Christ in true repentance over your sins, no matter what they are or how many they are, and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and wash away your sins and give you eternal life, he'll do it. And so the choice is yours. God hears me talking to you right now. And God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. Listen, the reason Jesus died on that cross was so God could transfer onto him every rotten sin you've ever done in your life. And, you know, that's the only way you're going to get your sins forgiven. If you could quit sinning right now and never sin again, the rest of your life, just the sins you've already done would send you to hell, because God cannot let one sin into heaven. That's how much he hates it. So when you come to Jesus, Jesus said on the cross before he died, it is finished, which means all the work necessary for your redemption has been done by him. Now, whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment. And so, like I said, God hears me talking to you right now. He knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. Galatians 3:20, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, in other words, hear my word, I will come into him." And folks, it's when you open the door of your heart to Jesus in simple childlike faith and repentance and ask him to come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid for you at Calvary, that he does that, and he gives you eternal life right then and there. And my job as a preacher is to lead people to Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved from hell, if you want that payment Jesus paid for you on the cross, if you want him to take his blood and wash away every single sin you've ever done, and make you a brand new creature in Christ, he'll do it right now tonight if you pray in sincerity and ask him to come into your heart. And I just want to say, let's do that. Let me lead you in a prayer of faith. And even though we're praying together, it's strictly between you and God, because only you can ask Jesus into your heart and be saved. So come on, let's pray. Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul from hell, believing you died on that cross and shed your blood for my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer just now and you meant it, and I know I'm talking fast because I don't have much time, but if you prayed that prayer and meant it, 1 John 5:13 says, "For these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life."
1 minute.
He said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on." That meant that you received him as your Savior, not just know about up in your head. Why? That you may know. That's not think it, wish it, or hope for it, but know. How can you know? Because God made you that promise, and God cannot lie. So when God makes you a promise and you do what he says, you got the answer. Nobody can take that away from you. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right, very good. I want to say thanks, George, for being here with us tonight. And again, folks, everything to Pastor Hal just said is absolutely true. Bottom line is this, this program was about reality tonight. Reality is you're going to die, and the Bible says it's appointed to all men once to die, and then the judgment. You're going to go to heaven and hell no matter what you believe. It's what God's word, the Bible says. So if you haven't tonight, if you haven't said that and asked the Lord into your life, you're virtually walking on a spider's web over a lake of fire. But we're out of time for tonight, so until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless. And always, keep fighting the fight. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.